This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan. We'll also hear a report from Megan Overby as well. It's Crop Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services and by Crary Industries. It's a snowy day across North Dakota and Minnesota. In northeastern North Dakota, snowfall totals are running anywhere from 3 to 6 inches. MR Consulting owner Mark Ramsey says not much wheat got seeded before the moisture.
Wheat, maybe, maybe 15%, maybe it's the whole total area I'm in up here. We're getting a little bit of moisture, just so we need to get the crop off and started.
Ramsey says soil temperatures were a little too cool for any of the sugar beets to get planted.
Just a little bit too cool. We've had those nicer days where it's warmed it up on the surface and maybe a little bit underneath, but, you know, when it's getting down into the 20s at night, it's just a little cool yet.
Farmers are grateful for the moisture near Crookston, Minnesota. Farmer Gary Wagner says in the last week, the area received at least 1 inch of moisture.
Through all the rains, and I don't know how much moisture we're going to get out of this snow. It's still snowing here right now. Everything getting is, we haven't had a decent moisture event since last July, so, it's well needed.
When conditions were drier, Wagner seeded some spring wheat. He adapted his planting strategy due to the dry conditions.
We decided to do basically no-till because of the moisture situation. Just quickly looking here, we actually started on the 6th of April, putting spring wheat in. And we were planting on edible bean ground, so we had a little extra moisture there. But it was going in nice conditions. But we were a little bit more concerned on the fields we were looking at that it was the top 2 inches was pretty dry, and then we had some moisture underneath that. So, we were planting a little deeper than we'd like to, but it'll come up.
From Elbow Lake, Minnesota, for the Red River Farm Network, I'm Megan Overby with our first Pioneer Agronomy update of the season. And we're at Red River Marketing, joined with a sales associate, Leah Johnson. And Leah, let's dive right into it. Some farmers been able to get out there and plant before the snow and rain.
Yes, so prior to last week's somewhat large rain event here, we are probably teetering around that 4-inch average with all the precip last week. We did get quite a bit of small grain in the ground in this local geography, which is wonderful. A lot of wheat got seeded. A lot of seed bed preparation got done as far as corn and soybeans. No activity yet, but we're just kind of in a waiting limbo land since we're dealing with some snow today.
The snow that we're getting now coupled with the rain that you got last week, has that helped improve the moisture situation tremendously?
That rain that came slow really pulled out more frost than we probably didn't know we still had in the ground. I would say for us locally, there's a lot of enthusiasm. We were very, very dry last fall. Not a lot of tile lines were moving. So we'll move this water and we'll be raring to go. No reason to panic yet.
You can find Red River Marketing on Facebook and Twitter. And this is the Pioneer Agronomy Update on the Red River Farm Network.
Thanks, Megan. Near Hensler, North Dakota, Clark Price says the farm received about 25 to 30 hundredths of an inch of snow so far this week.
We're a little white this morning, but very little bit of snow. This isn't enough yet. No, we were, like I said, our profile was completely empty. You could dig 8 inches into the ground and not find any moisture enough to make any form of a ball. So this will change a little bit of that topsoil. Probably I dug the other day on Monday, yesterday, and then it was maybe down 3/4 of an inch to an inch that had penetrated the soil. So everything below that was still completely dry.
Price has not started seeding a crop yet because conditions have been so dry.
Oh, we were super, super dry. To the point where people that had tried seeding already some wheat, that had quit because there wasn't enough moisture there to even seal up the ground. You know, we had some days that even got to 80 degrees, so that was too warm. And because if you're dry, that just doesn't help a bit. And now this morning, I think it was 22 when I went to work, so it's a little chilly. And it's supposed to be that way most of the week, I think. But.
That's Crop Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services and by Crary Industries.
Mostly light snowfall is in the forecast through next Monday. World Weather Incorporated says there's also a gradual warming in the forecast, with highs by Sunday reaching into the 50s and 60s. Morning lows will be in the teens and 20s tomorrow, teens and 20s on Thursday through Saturday, and mostly 20s and lower 30s Sunday and Monday.
NAU Country Vice President of Farm Services Rich Morrison says grain traders continue to pay close attention to the South American crop for any production and or supply issues.
Argentina's crops have gotten a little bit, at least have not gotten worse lately, and the Brazilian estimates have all been big, despite some of the weather problems they had. So you see the satellite maps of vessels moving, and there's a lot of boats coming out of Brazil cut across the water right now. So it's game on for that part of the world.
U.S. planting progress is also being watched carefully. Morrison says the impact of the snow and cold temperatures is a concern.
Not ideal for too many people, but it is what it is, I guess. So I don't think it's going to, I don't think the germination is going to be very, very strong over that period. But I know we've, throughout the central corn belt, supposed to have lows in the 30s over the next, 10 days off and on. So it should be a little bit of a concern.
Recapping weekly export inspections report from yesterday, corn inspections of 1.58 million metric tons, 26% less than the previous week, 34% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections came in at 199,000 tons, down 14% from the previous week, 31% less than the same week last year. Wheat inspections came in at 458,000 tons, 28% less than the previous week, 30% less than a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections running 82% ahead of last year's pace, soybean inspections 70% more, and wheat inspections are steady with the year-ago pace. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. South Dakota FFA Star Award winners were named during the final session of the South Dakota FFA Convention today. Two winners are from the Aberdeen, South Dakota area. The state star farmer is Mitchell Vanderwall from the Northwestern Area FFA chapter. He works with purebred cattle and tells the Red River Farm Network he's looking ahead to the future of the beef industry.
I hope that the beef industry continues to strengthen. That's my hope, because that's my passion, and hopefully that I can continue striving towards that passion for years to come. Now, I guess I don't know where the future is going to bring, but hopefully, with a lot of hard work and hopefully with my help, changes can be made or continuation can go on and improve what we know and love as the beef industry.
The star in agriculture placement is Destry Morris from the Miller FFA chapter. She works at a vet clinic and plans to pursue a career in veterinary medicine.
Vet industry, we always need more people. There's always producers that just keep growing and growing, so I don't think we can ever have too many people with veterinary medicine.
The star in agribusiness is Gaydon Johnson from the Beersford FFA chapter. Kaylee Locke from the McCook Central FFA chapter is the star in agriscience. Locke will be attending the University of Notre Dame in the fall to pursue a law degree with the goal of returning back to South Dakota and helping farmers.
It is a research university, so there's a lot of resources like that available.
The Red River Farm Network's coverage of the South Dakota FFA Convention is presented by the South Dakota Farmers Union and South Dakota Corn. Those state FFA officers are currently being named.
The South Dakota Farmers Union sponsors a Farm Safety Quiz Bowl during the South Dakota FFA Convention. Farmers Union Communications and Legislative Assistant Luke Rindle says there's been a good interest in the Quiz Bowl from FFA chapters. Farm safety is important.
So many tragic accidents can occur that may be preventable, and South Dakota Farmers Union is big into education, and part of that is farm safety education. So, we really try to stress that a lot, and we care for our our youth and all those who produce food, fuel, and fiber for us. So, if we can do anything to help the campaign of farm safety education, that's a big priority for us.
And the top four scoring teams in the Quiz Bowl move on to compete at the South Dakota State Fair later on this year.
The rulemaking that paved the way for year-round E15 sales is being challenged in the D.C. Circuit Court today. Oil refiners are challenging the Environmental Protection Agency's 2019 rulemaking. In a joint statement, the Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, and the National Corn Growers Association said the E15 rule should be upheld because it's good for the environment, good for American drivers, and rural communities relying on the biofuels industry. Those groups are testifying in favor of E15 in the court today.
President Joe Biden made a case for infrastructure with a bipartisan group of lawmakers yesterday afternoon. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson confirms partisanship and the cost of the plan will be hurdles as discussions continue, and this could be a long road ahead.
The president has proposed $2 trillion, which is seven times the $305 billion that we did in the last highway bill. So I think you can see how massive his proposal is. And in a country that's already $30 trillion in debt and losing ground every single day, it's just hard to understand, you know, how do we balance the need to invest with the need for fiscal responsibility? We can find that balance. I just don't think the president's hitting the target right now.
Johnson thinks building on the successes of the past will be important moving forward.
The agriculture omnibus bill continues to move through the Minnesota Senate, currently being heard in the Senate Finance Committee. Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation Associate Public Policy Director Josie Linetti is keeping a close eye on its progress.
Looking at some of the language on the House side and the language on the Senate side, there are some differences. I would expect that those would have to go to conference to be negotiated out. But there's a lot of similarities in the bills as well. You know, funding for wolf and elk depredation, funding for farm safety grants, continued support of the Minnesota hemp industry here in Minnesota, and some other good things as well that the Minnesota Farm Bureau supports.
Linetti says it's important to get these bills over the finish line. A friendly reminder, go to rrfn.com to sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet News hits your email inbox every Monday. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Well, as planters begin to roll across the Midwest, Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says weather-related production issues will take center stage.
We are absolutely entering a weather market. It's no different this time of year as the planters start to roll and we look ahead. But we're coming off of just talking about the old crop and this last couple of crop reports that were so important for the bearing on old crop supplies. And now we're coming off of a tighter year than we have here in several years.
And because of that tighter year, Camp says there is very little room for production issues.
And so there's even more importance on how do we start this new crop and what will the longer-term outlook be, given that we can always have, of course, unfortunately, weather risks like seem to be already developing when we look at maybe an active Midwest spring here for the next couple of weeks, but then still some longer-term outlooks that are hot and dry for a lot of the Corn Belt.
According to Jason Minke of Acres and Shares, last week, 10 American Crystal Sugar Company sugar beet shares were brokered at $3,900 per share. More than 4,780 shares have been sold in the current trading session at an average price of $3,727. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat up 7 at 6.49¾. July Chicago wheat up 5.5 at 6.36¾. May corn up 11.5 at 5.80½. December corn up 8.25 at 5.04¾. May beans up 7.25 at 13.89¼. November beans up 4 at 12.54¼. May canola up $7.90 Canadian at $815 Canadian. April live cattle down 27 cents at $122.45. April feeder cattle down $2 at $142.50. May down $2.65. April lean hogs down 7 cents at $103.45. A friendly reminder, be sure to check out the Red River Farm Network's event calendar. South Dakota FFA Convention wrapping up today, but the Minnesota FFA Convention coming up next week. Stay tuned to our coverage here on the Red River Farm Network. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.